Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Touch at least three people and tell them, you know, I need them. I need them. I need you. Going to be in the Old Testament today. I'm not sure how you pronounce the name of this book because I've heard it pronounced different ways my whole life. Habakkuk. Okay, we'll skip around here. Let me set a little context for what I want to do. It's like I'm going to take you on a journey to get you to a place you don't know you're going yet. So you don't know what the end game is, but I'm going to set you up for it, okay? Maybe it would help us to read Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and then I'll just try to let's walk us through what I believe the Holy Spirit would give us today. Let's read this together. Verse 1, I will stand my... Well, see, y'all read. I'm ready. Read. Okay, yeah, stop. We can stop. The righteous live by his faith, for I want you to stop. Now, here's a guy who is a prophet. The name of the book and the writer of the book are the same. His name means one who embraces or one who clings. This guy is very interesting because he not only has the ability to hear from God, and then either foretell or forthtell, it's what a prophet does. He either can foretell the future or he can forthtell the thus saith the Lord. And he's got more of a stubborn personality. His personality would denote that he can hold on to whatever he's given. Now, in the positive, if you hold on to something positive, that's pretty good. But it's not that good if you can hold on to what's negative. But, you know, that's how it is with some strengths. Some of your strengths can also be your weakness. You're going to see as we begin to read a little bit of this book, Habakkuk, you know, he holds on to his perception of his truth real strong. And you can see how he talks through things with God based on how he feels. And he hold on to it. And then you can see God give him consistent instruction, and then he ends up embracing and becoming faithful to that because it dead ends with this word, and the just or the righteous shall live by his faith. Remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by a word of God. This is all about how we hear from God. But it's a little deeper because I'm going to talk a little bit about the impediment to actually communing with him. Hearing from him and communing with him are two different things. You can get the information on Sunday and actually get mad. You can get information from God in your prayer time and get standoffish from God. You and I want to be in a communion, in a communication with him, and there are things that can happen in life that cause you more to back away from God than to lean into God, even though you're having a God moment. especially when you have a request in to God and his answer is, no, I don't think so. Let me tell you what's really on my mind. It kind of can leave you hanging out there a little bit. Have you ever had that person, maybe in your life, who you really wanted God to deal with? Because they have been getting on what my mom used to say, your last nerve. And it seems obvious to you that the conclusion, your conclusion and God's conclusion should be the same. You've got some scriptures to back yourself up. You got some personal circumstances. I'm always right. And so when I'm bringing my petition before the Lord, I have no comprehension that the answer could be me and you not even on the same page. And because I have already predetermined what I want to hear from God, hearing and being comfortable with what he's having to say becomes very difficult for me. And so even though he says it, it doesn't bring what the word should bring: peace, joy, sense of clarity and love and all that sugar and spice and everything. Nice. Okay, so watch this. Let's see what's going on in his life. Let me show you how he starts out his prayer time. Let me give you an example of some stuff he's saying. Pastor Philip, I want you to read this for me. Go to Habakkuk 1. Let's just hear and see how he's talking to Jesus. Well, Jehovah. Let's see how he's talking. Read verse 2, Philip.
Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear?
You don't listen to me. Have you ever felt like you want to say that to the Lord? You don't listen. I'm going to ask you this 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. It's ought to be clear by now. Read.
Or cry out to you violence and you will not save.
I'm telling you, somebody is hurting me. Sticks and stones can break my bones. Violence. You can have conversations with people and you do the right thing. Instead of retaliating, you tell God. Don't you see? It's real frustrating once you've told and he's still not listening. Keep reading for me, Pastor Philip.
Or why do you make me see iniquity and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me.
Why are you making me watch this like a movie? I don't want to see. It's a bad movie. It's sinful. Do you want me to see sin? Strife, contention, hatred, these people. Do you want me to put up with this? Now he's talking about Judah and the way they act and behave with God. Have you ever been lumped in with a group of people before? And you hate being lumped in? Especially, now this is a black term. You don't hear white people using it. Especially when you lumped in with trifling people. We will use that word, trifling. You don't know that word, do you, Carol? Yeah, this is bad. Yeah, that's trifling. Trifling, just terrible. Jasmine, you know that word? Yeah, see, a little cultural paradigm right there. Trifling, yeah, see there? Correction. So no one wants to be lumped in, but sometimes it's impossible to be a part of a group without getting a group outcome. So if you win as a team, you lose as a team. If your army loses, you lose. Your army win, you win. And it can be frustrating when you're doing the right stuff, but you're with a group of people who are doing the wrong stuff, but you lumped in with the penalty. Now that would make you hot. Especially if you're the person who've been telling people what's wrong. You've been doing the work of God. Verse 4. Go ahead, read it.
So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted.
So you can see where this is going. We can stop reading this. It's just I don't like how you govern God. This is how he starts his prayer time. You know how we do that religious thing? Like, I'm going to start my prayer time with a little worship. It's times when I don't feel worshipful. I got an angst. And it's with him. Somebody was telling me, I was just doing at a civil rights event, and they was telling me how mad they were. It was black people telling me how mad they were with white people because of injustice and all of that stuff. And it was just, and I said, well, you stop being that mad. First of all, find out what virus is in you before you point the virus out in other people. Number two, before you're mad at somebody else, you have to be mad at God who allowed it. So let's just get the right culprit first. It's God. And that changes the narrative. But this guy has such an interaction with God, he's willing to say, let's not even break into the worship part yet. Let's get down with the get down. Let's deal with it. Okay, so then the next set of verses in one, we won't go through them. God begins to answer him by saying, I'm going to deal with it. Here's how I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to get the Chaldeans, which are the Babylonians, which is Nebuchadnezzar and his posse, and I'm going to get them to come down here and whoop all the people. Just, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take your enemy that used to be your friend, and I'm going to just come destroy everybody. And would this be a good answer for you, prophet? So you don't like what they're doing? You know, I don't like what they're doing. So tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get you a big dose of judgment. How about that? You know, I wrote this statement down. I don't want to get it. It's too good to miss. I told myself, if I got to this point, don't forget to say this. This is too good. Hold on. Where is he at? Come on. You ever heard the statement, it's too good to be true? Well, Habakkuk is thinking, this is too bad to be true. He's asking God to just solve, a problem, a small problem in the church. Let's say he solves us. God, the church is acting crazy. Can you get them? He said, yes, I'm going to send them to be led by an atheist. It's like, man, that's terrible. You're going to give me a word. So having the Babylonians come and sanction and correct Judea was egregious to him, because he began to think to himself, God, you're going a little bit too far. And instead of him surrendering to the communication, it became combative, to where he's actually lecturing God. Have you ever been in a position where you end up lecturing God? That means you're giving God a lesson in morality. You're giving him a lesson in right and wrong. You're giving him a lesson in good and bad, because you have become the chief voice over his voice. And so here's what it is. So go now, Pastor Philip, to 1 verse 12. So after the Lord responds, like, I'm going to send some destruction, I'm going to get these people. Here's Habakkuk's second complaint, because he started with a complaint. God talks to him. Here comes another complaint. Okay, read verse 12.
Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God?
But he got softer with it. Let me butter him up a little bit. Let me throw some praise on it, because, you know, the first time I didn't throw any praise on it, got me a bad word. So let me make it sound nicer. Read.
Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof.
He starts saying, you know, Lord, it's basically this: I don't really like what you're doing, but I know you ain't going to utterly kill us. You're not going to make it that bad, because you do good. I know I was saying it was bad, but I don't want you to correct them too much, because they're in that group.
You are who of are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong. Why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than
now,
he?
Now his real heart comes out. Now, but I know you're good and everything, but the traitors remain silent when the wicked swallow up the man more righteous than him. In other words, no matter what we have done wrong, we ain't bad as those Babylonians. Why are you using them to get onto us? Because the bottom line is there's a conflict between the way God thinks and we think. His ways are not like our ways, neither his thoughts like our thoughts. So we want to have prayer, communication, worship, communion with God, but if something gets breached when his way of thinking and doing things doesn't measure up with ours, it actually stymies the relationship. And instead of moving forward, you can't. And remember what Habakkuk's name means. It means one who clings or embraces. You see, he can't just really let this go. You ever meet somebody who just can't move on? You've met me. Sometimes I just can't move on. I stay stuck on what happened 10 years ago. Remember when I was 4? It happens. So, all right, so now let's go to Habakkuk 2, and I'm going to start going through the verses that I gave you. 2, verse 1. I will steady myself. Go ahead.
I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint.
Now, so here's what I love about him, and he's already proven himself to be faithful. He and God are not necessarily having a very friendly conversation, but he does have a level of the fear of the Lord within his conversation. And instead of moving backwards from the relationship, even though yet he's gotten more information that is not appealing to him, he presses on. He said, I'm going to stay in the place of prayer. I'm going to stay in the position as a watchman. I'm going to get where God wants me to be, and I'm going to watch to see what the Lord will say and what will be the answer for my complaint. In other words, he's recognizing that he may have pushed it just a little too far. He's recognized that he's been complaining, and God has the right now to come back with a fierce word. And how am I going to respond? But I'm not going to respond by being out of communion with him. Remember, the last verse that we'll read is that the just live by his faith, or the word there being faithfulness. He is still faithful to show up, even though things aren't going quite his way. He will steady himself at the rampart. In other words, there's a point of prayer. There's a point of interaction with God where you've got to eliminate all other activities because you need to hear very clearly about what is next. See, when you're desperate or when things aren't going exactly the way you want them to go, or you need a fresh vision or fresh clarity in a circumstance or a situation, you can't have a lot of moving around. You can't just be out of a position. There is an appointed place. There's an appointed time. If you have an appointment with God, you want to be ready. And he gets still. How many times is your prayer life abbreviated? Interrupted by your phone. Interrupted by your children. Interrupted by your spouse. Interrupted by your own imagination. And instead of being able to get a clear word from God, all you get is another form of frustration because you really can't break forth into the level of communion that you want to get. Can I get any amen? Has anybody been there? Has anybody lived? Okay, I thought the Lord was telling me to preach this to this people. Okay. What's going to be my answer? He said, what's going to be my... I want you to leave it there. Leave it on that verse, please. I will take my stand on my watchpost. Now... One of the jobs of the prophet was to position himself where, or a person that took the watch post, was to position himself where he could see at a great distance and notice where the enemy was, and then warn the people about what was pending or what was to come. You can understand that he's talking a more spiritual language than an actual thing, because we know he's not necessarily going to stand at a guard post. So he's talking about his inner life. He's talking about his inner ear. He's talking about the positioning that he gets in prayer. He said, I will watch to see what the Lord will say and what will be the answer of my tongue. I want you to look about this. Think about a watchman looking out over the landscape of a land. As you look at a landscape long enough, it becomes a still picture. But it's probably flat, maybe flat in your mind than three-dimensional. Three-dimensional means it would have peaks, valleys, it would have rivers, trees, it would have sun, moon, it would have animals and all these different things. But no matter, the further you are away, you may not see all these things, but they're still in the picture. I was said, and the longer you stay still, the more detail you begin to get, the more understanding you begin to get. And go to, did I give you Matthew of Matthew 7? Here, let me give you the secret of how you get detail. So remember, you're going to steady yourself upon a rampart. Watch to see what the Lord will say and what would be the answer to your tongue. So how do you get vision? Because the Bible says, then you're going to write the vision, make it plain upon tablets that they that read can run. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, though it tarry, wait for it, says the Lord, for it shall surely come to pass. That means there needs to be a constant interaction. God, and notice this. He says, watch to see what the Lord will say, but he doesn't say listen to hear what the Lord will say. It's not that God does not speak to our to us audibly or speak to our inner ear, but God speaks in word pictures. That means for every word he speaks, there's a mental picture that goes along with that word. That word means something to you. When I say grass, you immediately see what? When I say sun, you immediately see what? What if I didn't say the word sun, but I just showed you a sun? Did I say sun? Yes, I said sun. If I say boat, you get a picture of boat? Let's keep playing the game. Okay? When I say wind, when I say eat, when I say door, when I say race. Okay, let me give you an example. I'm going to show you something deeper. When I said race, what did you see? When I said race, what did you see? Two people. When I say race, what did you see? You saw your wife losing to me in a race because she used to be a track star? His wife used to be a track star. And she says she's going to beat me in a race. After Carol beats her, then I'll race her. What did you see when I said run? One runner. What did he have on? What color were they? Anything other distinguishing markers on them? Okay, what color was the tank top? Any marks on the tank top? Well, look a little closer. What color are the stripes? They're red. What about the shoes? You didn't see shoes? So he's running without shoes. Yes, he's barefoot. Is he white or black? Male or female? White male. Okay, now you notice, watch this. Did you have any of those things in mind before I asked you the questions? You weren't even thinking about it. But with every question I asked you, you were able to go one step deeper. See, when you, everyone that in the message said, ask and it will be given, seeking you'll find, knocking the doors will be opened unto you. So sometimes, see, when you're seeking God, you got to keep asking. You got to keep seeking. You got to keep knocking. And all of a sudden, what was in your purview, I was setting myself upon a rampart. I will watch to see what the Lord would say. What would be the answer to my tongue? So he saw the runner from the first time I said run, but he did not see the detail until he asked the question, until the questions were asked. And so when you are in prayer and when you're getting still and when things are not vivid, it's not because you don't have access to them. It's like what focuses your binoculars in the prayer is asking and keep seeking. Seeking sometimes denotes time. In other words, the more I spend time, that denotes I'm seeking because I'm being focused. And if I want to bring something in focus, I get precise. I see a tree, but what kind of tree? I see what kind of tree, well, what's the purpose for the tree? What is the illustration for the tree? What are you trying to show? And over time, what becomes unclear becomes clear to you because you've got in a still place where you can actually see, hear, and perceive God. And because Habakkuk is so interested in clinging to what God has to say, he doesn't breach the relationship because he didn't get what he wanted the first time. He just studies himself and says, you know what? I'm going to keep on pursuing him, asking questions, seeking him till I find some more clarity. And then I'll know what he has to say, the answer to my complaint. What was his complaint? I don't like how the children of Israel, Judea, getting away with murder. Then I don't like your way you gonna handle it. So I've been lecturing God, and now he's gonna deal with me. He doesn't run from this. Too often, the reason I love this text and I feel like it's life-changing is because I feel like the demonic attack on human beings is to get you to walk away from the living, breathing word of God, whether that's the Bible or the inner voice. It's to make you see something offensive in the word and walk away from the Logos, or it's to make you misperceive God's goodness and what he reveals to you, and then you walk away from it instead of understanding that it is his grace that allows you to perceive him. It is your grace that allows you to hear from him. And if he is giving judgment, it is always righteous and it is always good. And if he is withholding judgment, it is always righteous and it is good. And if you go on to hear what these prophets say, whenever God would give something, he would always give a relief. He would always give an opportunity for repentance. He'd always give an opportunity for change. And whenever God is even dealing with you in a form of challenging something in your life or your behavior, it's not so you can be summarily destroyed instantly. It's so that you would heed the warning and you could take advantage of the grace that comes up to him. Grace is simply space to repent, space to change, space to turn. Sometimes God reveals to us in prayer what's going negative in our relationship, not so that you can feel bad, but so you can recalibrate what you think and how you think and how you're moving forward. Then you need to, he said, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets. You make it plain by keep asking them questions. But you got to write it down. People forget almost 90% of what you don't write down. 90%. But I can pull out my prayer journal and pull out the dates and tell you what God said to me. This is a daily part of your life. Get still enough. Stay in prayer, seeking God long enough to actually have something to write down. I'm not asking you to write down your thoughts. That's not the exercise. I'm asking you to write down what he says. You don't need an audible voice because remember, when he speaks in word picture. Picture is equal to a word. He gives you a vision. He gives you an insight. He gives you a clue. And the more you embrace the fact that he is communicating with you, the louder his voice gets, the clearer his voice gets, and you're able to do more extraordinary things. Now, let's take this all the way back to last week's lesson in Isaiah when he says, when you fast this right way with right motives, your light will break forth. He'll guide you continually. He said, you'll be restorers, you'll be repairers, you'll be rebuilders. But guess what? You can feel, think about, that's a picture of who you can be, but that's not clarity of what you should do. You got to hear me on that. So he says, you're going to be a restorer, you're going to be a rebuilder, you're going to be, but you don't have clarity of how, well, just go build somebody's house? How does he want that applied for you? Well, it takes, well, you have to live. Remember, he said, the just shall live by his faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. You have to faithfully stay in the place of God, asking them questions, getting clarity so you can now walk it out. Too often we want somebody to just walk up to us and tell us the whole answer. We want to walk up to, we want to go to God in prayer and get the entire encyclopedia for your life in one setting so you don't have to come back anymore. But it just doesn't work like that. He said, give us this day our daily bread. He's going to give you enough for the day. He's going to give you one piece at a time. You're going to get a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. You're going to get just enough to satisfy you today and come that you have to come back tomorrow. That's how it works. That's why you write the vision down and make it plain on tablets the day that Reed can run. He was talking about writing it down in a public sense for him as a prophet where people could keep walking past the word and rehearse it and live it. In their case, they needed to know that God was going to bring relief with the judgment. And if you can see, he actually delayed the judgment that he pronounced. Now, time to go into that. God doesn't want to... See, sometimes we hear the word and we think about maybe feel condemned. But when you hear the words from God and they have a tone of judgment on them, it is an act of mercy and an act of grace to turn us from a poor way of living to a better way of living that we might get a better result. The Bible says a curse without cause does not come. There means, you know, the Bible said you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. Sometimes there are behavior patterns in our life that we have just forgotten about that are inconsistent with the will of the word of God, but we have clung to them. We have embraced them. We have held on to them until they are part of the essence of our life. And now we're trying to figure out why things are going wrong because you do something good, but the things you've sown, now you're reaping. And what he does to calibrate that is he gives you a fresh word that you can apply to get out of that because the just live by faith. Faith is a process. He don't live by a miracle. A miracle is it's going wrong. It's a whirlwind. It's a storm. It's a fire. I want God to just send a fire hose from heaven and end the fire. I want him to get rid of all it. See, we want to live by that miraculous intervention, but it doesn't work like that. You live in your Christian walk day by day, step by step with him. I'll conclude with this because I'm out of time. Have more to say, obviously. I apologize if I belabored it too long, but what do you do from here? How do you take what I'm telling you and turn it into something beautiful to cling to? Well, you realize the just shall live by his faith. Faith comes by hearing a word from God. Steady yourself. Watch to see what the Lord will say and what will be your answer. Write the vision, make it plain upon tablets so that they that read, first starting with you and others, can run. I'm begging you to make talking and communicating with God a more active part of your life. I'm not telling you to go do your prayers tonight unaware that he wants to commune with you. I'm not asking you to get up in the morning and do your devotional time unaware that he wants to commune with you. Even when you do a devotional, God the Holy Spirit is there giving you application. Even when you're in a church service, God is here giving you specific application. Why do you write notes? You're writing notes not just on word for what I'm saying, but you're trying to write down the spiritual clues of how God will have you apply it to your life after this moment. God made it clear to me that this one of the inheritance of you being here is he's going to speak to you. He's going to commune with you. The Bible says, you know, our devotion, you know, saying is, you know, is honoring God through obeying his word. You have to know it. One of the reasons we know this word is so that when we hear words that are outside of the scriptural text, we know to check it. We know to reject it. We know to balance it out. If you start hearing God say kill people, well, you know, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. So that's the devil. The devil then told me to kill somebody. Ooh, he'll tell you to do that. Devil told you, march back in there and give her a piece of your mind. you know that's not the Lord. It's not the Lord. Now when you start hearing God say, turn the other cheek, forgive, don't go to bed mad. Oh, the Lord is speaking. Write that kind of stuff. I was on the airplane last night and God started speaking to me. I started crying on the plane. Somebody started talking to me. He's crying because he was telling me I was clear. Oh, you got to do this. It doesn't matter. I was just still. It doesn't matter where I'm at on the plane. I just got still. Had a question. Went into that space on the plane. Within seconds, God is speaking to me. What if I told you he wants to instantly speak to you like that? And the reason I'm telling you is possible because God gave me this word to give to you. But I believe sometimes communing and communicating with God becomes something in our head that's more difficult than it is. So what I did is say, I'm going to take the difficulty out. And you might say, well, Pastor James, you're a pastor, so it's easy for you. Or you're a prophet, so it's easy for you. I developed these principles when I was none of these things. This is developed out of my prayer time with Jesus. And then that's how I found out that I would be a pastor one day. That's how I found out I was a prophet. And then when other men came up to me, they were only confirming what God showed me and giving me a clearer picture. All right, did this help anybody tonight? All right, that's all I got tonight. Stand to your feet. Okay. Next week, you really don't want to miss. Because I believe that God is going to amplify what I'm saying to you. Many of you need a fresh word. You feel like even though I've just given you this little insight and I've given you this homework assignment and everything, I can sense the fear of, well, it's not going to happen for me. Don't worry. Keep coming back because I'm going to keep giving you little clues of how you get closer. Okay? You know, it's progressive. Just like him seeing the runner, it was progressive. So you got some clues today. You got some things you can go home and practice. And then you get better over time. Your relationship is eternal with God. You get to discover. That's one of the joys of like thinking about the marriage weekend with your spouse. My spouse is different every month. I got to learn something new. You know. That's not a different spouse. She has different characteristics. I don't get a new wife. I got been with one woman for 25 years. So praise God. It's the only woman I know. So I want you to go home and be encouraged. It might seem invasive for me to use the word homework, but grant me permission to give you homework. I'd like you from tomorrow all the way up to this time next week, in your prayer time, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour, to actually write down what the Lord is saying to you. Just attempt this. Read the scripture, get still, attempt it. And then when we come back, you know, we'll try to talk about it. We'll hear some testimonies maybe. Okay? Come back next week and if you're going to be a repairer, which you are, a restorer, you know what that looks like? It looks like reaching out to somebody who is probably maybe one step behind where you are or not even on the same room and say, I want you to come to church with me because there's going to be a supernatural meeting where God can come into your space and give you a word, a prophetic word, and change your life. Try to see if the Holy Spirit will lead you to take responsibility for one soul. Because you've got to start getting, and don't be afraid because it's going to be a supernatural meeting. They're going to think it's weird. That's God's business. They're going to think that's God's business. Okay? Take responsibility. What you shouldn't do if you don't get anybody is feel condemned. Well, I ain't coming to church. I couldn't invite nobody, so I'm just going to stay home, watch TV. Don't do that. This is an encouragement to always reach out and share the Savior. Okay, my sister, come on. You're going to dismiss us. Yes, you. Come on, bring your anointing.
This is our 1-year anniversary of being at Bethel. It's been life-changing, renewing. We are so grateful and honored every time that we can celebrate and worship with you. Thank you, Pastor James. Oh, Lord, mighty God, everlasting Father. Oh, we stand before you tonight, Lord, humbled. We are challenged tonight, God. Our prayer life is going to change in Jesus' name. Yeah. We're going to press in, Jesus. We're going to seek after your face, God. Hallelujah. Help us to ask and seek, Jesus. You are there, Lord. We call upon your name. We call upon your name. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Bind us up with truth and grace, Lord. Bring us back Sunday, Jesus, to worship your holy, righteous name, the name above all names. Honor and glory to you, Lord, the great God, the almighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Come on, give God a hand of praise. God bless you. I'll see you on Sunday morning, the Lord's will. God bless you. You are dismissed. If you have any prayer needs, you can slip up here. Somebody will pray for you.
If you've watched this message and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, I've got good news. You can do it right now. I want you to pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life for the rest of my life. I acknowledge I am a sinner. I need you, my Savior. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead on the third day. And I confess that you are now Lord of my life. If you've just prayed that prayer, I have good news for you. You have eternal life. The next step for you is to get in a Bible-believing church. We volunteer to be that church. But if not us, we pray God's blessings on you as you search for God's best for you. Thank you.
Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.